Visions from Grassroots, The Universe of Home by Paul Grewchow. When I was a small boy, my twin sister and I shared a bed in the single bedroom of our house. Our parents slept in the big bed at the far end of the room, and we slept in the smaller one near the door. The long, narrow, low-ceiling dimensions of the room made its windows, which were of standard size, seem extravagantly large. They faced east and south, catching on clear nights the moonlight, which had a soft blue radiance and in which bits of dust swirled like the crystals of snow in the glass globe that my grandmother kept on her dining room bureau. In the wintertime, the flame of the oil-burning stove in the next room flickered through the isinglass, giving off an intermittent orange and yellow glow that danced on the doorframe. Occasionally, a car would pass on the gravel road not 20 feet beyond the windows, suddenly filling the room with blinding light, and as suddenly plunging it again into the darkness. I took a long time in falling asleep as a small child. That bedroom was too vibrant with various emanations of light to encourage easy sleep. As I lay watching shadows ebb and flow, trying to catch the gossamer particles of things floating in the moonbeams, and listening to the stirrings in the next bed, to the scamperings of mice in their hollow walls, to the movement of the air beyond the windows, and to the faint creakings and groanings of the old house, the strange world of the night, of which I was vaguely fearful, would stir to life, and I, however sleepy I had been at bedtime, would awaken with it. If I were to lie awake long enough, I would see a ghost. The form was that of a very tall man with long arms and lanky legs, and it wore a dark Stetson and cowboy boots with sharp toes and spurs on the heels that glinted in what little light there was. Despite its boots and the fact that the floor was covered in linoleum, the ghost moved soundlessly and with the exaggerated flying motions of a dancer. It looked like one of those blue dancers in the jazz collages by Matisse, although the apparition was not blue, but a gray-brown with the shade and texture of felt, like a grainy photograph printed in sepia. I can give you a precise picture of this ghost because I saw it several dozen times over the period of a year and a half, and because my sister, who was there beside me, saw exactly the same thing. We had not made the image up. Neither of us had ever seen a cowboy or a dancer, for that matter, much less a cutout of one by Matisse. We did not have a television set. We were not allowed to go to the movies, and the only books in our house that we might have looked at were a collection of Mother Goose rhymes and a volume of Bible stories for children, neither of which showed a picture of a cowboy. True, we played cowboys and Indians, as white kids did in rural Minnesota in the early 1950s. This ghost appeared to us beginning in the spring of 1952, but nobody in our set ever wanted to be a cowboy, and so we were all Indians, and the cowboys were the imaginary enemy, just over the hill or just beyond the shadows of the grove, against whom we fought, always victoriously. Cowboys could have looked like anything, so far as we knew. The ghost was so tall that it had to duck to pass through the doorway into the bedroom. The figure darted to and fro like the branches of a tree in the wind, just at the foot of our bed, as if it were looking for something to steal, perhaps my sister and me as we cowered under our covers. When we cried out in unison, it fled, sometimes back through the doorway, sometimes out of the east window at the foot of our bed. Both my sister and I saw it leave, and our opinions on which way it had gone always agreed. Sometimes, if we had drifted off to sleep, the ghost would pull at our toes, perhaps trying to get hold of us to carry us off, and we would awaken to see it fleeing, either out of the same window or through the same doorway. It came as often as 2 or 3 times a week, and as seldom as 2 or 3 times a month, more frequently in the summertime than in the winter, although we suspected that the ghost visited in the winter too, when the room was too dark for us to perceive it. We sometimes felt a sensation of an unseen presence, perhaps in the irregular currents of air.